Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our weekly EAN podcast. My name is Barbara Tettenborn. I'm the editor-in-chief of eLearning, and besides that, the head of Department of Neurology in St. Gallen, Switzerland. On my side for today's podcast is Professor Yildiz Degemenci, who is a member of the eLearning editorial board. Hello, Yildiz, and maybe you introduce yourself shortly.
Thank you, Barbara. It's a great pleasure to be with you here today as a co-moderator of this session and, of course, with our young colleagues as our guests. As you mentioned, I'm an editorial board member of the EAN Campus e-learning platform, and I'm a movement disorders neurologist leading the neurology unit of the Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center in Medipol University, Istanbul, Turkey.
Thank you, Yildiz. Today, as you mentioned already, we have a special topic session with our young neurologists, which is the title of Why Neurology? So, of course, we want to persuade all the students to get into neurology. We need so many more neurologists in the future. So I think this podcast will be especially interesting for our junior colleagues, and therefore we have guests from the resident and research fellow section of the EAN, the RRFS. And our first guest is Benedetta Storti from Milan in Italy. She is a neurologist since this year, 2022, and passionate about neurology ever since her biology teacher talked about the extraordinary power of the neuron in school. She currently works in the cerebrovascular unit of the Carlo Besta Neurological Institute in Milano. She deals in particular with small vessel pathology, vasculitis, and vascular malformations. The team she works with is young and consists of neurologists, neuroradiologists, and neurosurgeons, and she loves cooperation and sharing knowledge with colleagues from all over the world. Benedetta has been a member of EAN since the first year of her residency, and she told me that she is now very excited to represent RRFS in the teaching subcommittee. Our second guest is David Garcia Azorin from Spain. He is neurologist and headache specialist at Hospital Clinico Universitario de Valladolid in Spain. He is a doctor in philosophy and master of headache disorders. He is a member of the Teaching Course Subcommittee of the EAN and Africa Task Force, and he has done clinical stays in India, Honduras, Cameroon, and Ivory Coast. So I think it will be very interesting to hear your insights into why neurology. And our third guest is Raphael Wurm from Vienna in Austria. Raphael is a fifth-year resident and researcher at the Department of Neurology at the Medical University of Vienna, where he also works in the outpatient clinic for memory disorders. He has a background in cardiovascular research and made the unusual decision to switch tracks to neurology after 3 years of doctoral studies, something he now claims was the most fortunate coincidence of his career. So, hello, Benedetta, David, and Raphael.
Hi.
Hello. Maybe we start with ladies first, Benedetta. Why did you choose to specialize in neurology?
Well, in Italy, you have to go through 6 years of medical school before choosing a specialization. And on the other hand, there is a national test and where you have to have 80% luck and 20% skills. And I managed to have 99% luck. And I was admitted at the school in Milano Bicocca, where I studied neurology, and I met a lot of incredible colleagues and very good friends. But the idea of being a neurologist goes back to my teenage years. I read all of Oliver Sacks' books in one summer. I think it was 2001. And although the Sacks' popular version, and I beg the pardon to the holy memory of Oliver Sacks, because Oliver Sacks is still my source of inspiration. Well, instead of this popular version is very different from the reality, I fell in love with neurology. And what even before Oliver Sacks brought me to this love was my high school teacher, Professoressa Capitanio. She was an excellent, she is an excellent biologist and neuroscientist. And when she explained how neurotransmissions works on the blackboard, the whole class were hypnotized.
So it's obviously certain people who got you interested in neurology. If we go on to David, what made you choose to specialize in neurology?
I think that a powerful reason that our fellow colleagues that are still medical students should consider is that we as neurologists, we not only treat and cure the brain, but we really use the brain for the diagnosis of many disorders. We have a very rich specialty where there is a huge variability of manifestations. It is highly different to treat a patient with epilepsy than a patient with dementia or a movement disorder. And this is really interesting to me because you have to learn techniques like electroencephalography, electromyography. You have to learn how to inject botulinum toxin in the head. And this is something that many other specialists cannot do and say. And we are not treating a simple organ like a muscle in the middle of the chest. I think that we are dealing with a very complex system, and we still need to learn and research far more to be able to help our patients and find the cure of many new disorders that are still yet to be solved. So in summary, I think that neurology is amazing, and I recommend all the students to consider it.
Yeah, I still, after decades of doing neurology, find it the most interesting and fascinating specialty in whole medicine. And I'm very happy that I had chosen it decades ago. Raphael, do you have anything to add why one should choose neurology as a specialization?
I think what I want to add is building a bit on what David said is that I think neurology is very special in its breadth, in the sense that a typical day in my day of work can consist of doing outpatients in the emergency room, which is really a broad mix of patients with neurological complaints, then going to my specialty clinic and treating people with dementia, and then perhaps going on a stroke call for the night shift. And this is really, I think this is mostly three specialties combined into one. So you really need to have a very broad understanding of the field, and you get to see and get to be exposed to a lot of different things. And for me, that keeps things a bit fresh. As it turns out, if I do something for a longer time without changing it up, it seems that I might lose interest in it. And I think neurology, with this extremely rich field of different diseases and different organ systems, really keeps it fresh and new for me every day.
I can assure you it stays interesting all your life. And I think one life isn't long enough to learn everything in neurology. So I keep on learning something new every day. Yildiz.
I totally agree with you, Barbara, and thank you all for sharing your insights about neurology. And I was wondering, to provide an inspiration for our young listeners, why is neurology important to you? So let's change the alignment and begin with Raphael, for example.
Sure. I think what I have really grown to like and love about the field is, I think, the power of the neurological examination. I mean, it's obviously something that is talked about a lot, but then something that is forgotten easily when you see how much tools we have, right? So there's so much technical applications that we can use, imaging and electrophysiology. But when you break it down, it's really amazing that with a proper neurological examination and a good history, you can pinpoint so many diseases and so many problems to the right organ system. So to me, especially working in the emergency room, often feels like solving like puzzles, that I get to use my brain and my hands for the beginning. And then if I want to be certain, I can use very fancy technological applications. And I really, really like that. I've always been more interested in the, what we say here, conservative, in the non-surgical specialties. And I think in that regard, neurology really is the perfect blend of thinking about a problem first, then examining it, and then getting the answer through an image or something else.
Thank you, Raphael. And if we go on with you, David, what do you think about the importance of neurology?
I think that the neurological diseases are highly disabling and are within the leading causes of disability worldwide. When we are able to treat a patient, not always cure, but we can always help and support our patients and families, we are giving them back their lives. And I think that this is highly valuable because when you are able to treat a person with a stroke, it really changes whether you treat adequately in the acute phase and the patient will remain as he was before with a very good secondary prevention, of course. And it occurs the same with many other neurological diseases, like, for instance, migraine. A person with a chronic migraine may not be able to work properly or to study, but an effective treatment will really change the situation and will make possible to have a normal life. And this is something that is like a miracle.
Thank you. Great indeed. And Benedetta, why is neurology important for you?
Well, I haven't much to add, I think, to my colleagues. But certainly the fascination of the matter is not the only things that justify the importance of neurology. And it is also important to consider the steadily increase of prevalence of neurological diseases in the world. And there are two main reasons for this. We know the advancement of technology and the increase of the average age of the population. So what we need is more means to diagnose and to treat previously unknown pathology, for example, spinal muscular atrophy. And also we have the imperative aim to focus to finding a cure to Alzheimer's and other neurodegenerative diseases. Neurology is therefore exceptionally important.
Thank you. It is very important indeed. And, you know, there are lots to cure, lots to solve. And speaking of the challenging issues in neurology, since the neurology residency itself can be challenging so many times. So what do you wish you had known at the beginning of your studies or residency, Benedetta? Let's keep going.
Yeah, what I suggest to my colleagues younger than me, I mean, it's always to choose the most enjoyable path. I mean, I'm still too young to give life advice, obviously, but this way of thinking has always worked for me. And I currently work with a great team with Dottoressa Bersano at the Besta Neurological Institute. And it's a very large Italian center specialized in many neurological and neurosurgical pathology. And it's very stimulating. And what I suggest is this, to try to never be bored by work and always love what we do for the rest of our life, if we can.
Okay, great. And what about you, David? What do you wish you had known at the beginning of your residency?
I think that something that no one tells you is how quickly will it end. And for this reason, I think that I would like to suggest and recommend our colleagues to never keep the question for you. So if you have a doubt, do not sleep on it. You have to ask it as a resident because you have many great colleagues, both residents and also the attending physicians, that will help you. This is the way that you will really learn how to understand the neurological disorders, because some of them are really complex and the help is always acknowledged.
Thank you. And Raphael, what about you? What would you like to be told about the challenging neurology at the beginning of your residency?
Yeah, so this is something that I actually do tell younger colleagues now, and it's perhaps a bit unorthodox, but it's basically the quote that I got from some article that I read a long time ago about academia, and it applies to our residency as well. And it goes, "The hospital does not love you back." I see so many of the young colleagues, especially at the beginning, taking over extra shifts, taking over extra responsibilities, And then somewhere in the middle, having to reconcile with that, that they have taken on too much on their plates. And what I wish that I had known at the beginning is that there is parts of that work where you really need to put your energy in, and that's the patient interactions, and that's the things that you're passionate about. But do not expect the system to give you any kind of, you know, thanks if you just put in your energy into that system. Try to set boundaries and try to protect your free time as well, because you're only as good as you can be when you're actually having a good life outside of residency as well.
That's probably true for every job, not only the medical business and not only the neurologist. But it's a very good advice, because a lot of younger residents I know don't really have the feeling yet how to make the borderline between necessary clinical work and then having some time for publication and research. So you need that extra time if you want to make a career, especially if you want to publish things, if you want to go through studies. So you need some extra time aside from the hospital. And it's sometimes very hard. I still remember that I found it hard to do both. See, the next question is, what are your biggest and personal goals for you as a neurologist? Do you have any? And if you have, which ones are they? Maybe we start with David now for a change.
I think that if I reflect on this, I have two goals. The first is the daily goal, which is the patient satisfaction and the happiness. Sometimes you are not able to do very much for the patients because of the disease has not yet an effective treatment, but your understanding and support is always valued by the patients and families. And I think that the second and long-term goal is to do some relevant contributions to science. I really like to do research, and I think that as neurologists, we have the obligation to increase the knowledge about the brain diseases and neurological diseases, because we are a step ahead from other specialties, and in the next decade, probably it will be the brain decade, because we are developing tools that will help us to be able to understand how the brain works better.
Yeah. Actually, when I was studying, my co-students tend to ask me, why are you doing neurology? You can't do anything. You can't treat the patient. You can just make the diagnosis. And they said, yeah, but that's so interesting, because then in the next decades, there will be so many treatment options coming up. And I was right. So I am very happy that I was right. And even from now on in the future, there will be many, many more treatment options, which we are maybe not even thinking of yet. And so I'm really excited about what the future is having for us. So Benedetta, what are your personal goals for you as a neurologist?
Well, as you told us before, when I started my journey, I thought that publishing in JAMA was the greatest achievement for any neurologist. And now I've definitely revised my viewpoint, and my objective is to be able to make the patient understand the pathology she or he is suffering. Because I think that often we as doctors cannot explain difficult concepts with simple words. And my second objective is obviously to choose the best therapy, but to be ready to change my mind if I realize that this is not the right one. And finally, well, the things that gives me more satisfaction, like David, is definitely when you discharge a patient from the hospital and this patient smiles to you, which means that he or she has appreciated your work, and maybe thanks to you now, he or she is feeling better, and that's a great pleasure.
It is. But on top of that, do you still want to go and do some research and write publications, or do you think your future is more in the patient healthcare?
Now I'm trying to do both, but it's quite difficult to work as a clinician and also a researcher. In my institute, it's something that we can do easily, and I'm lucky for that, but I know that is not this way in every hospital, especially if you're not working in a university hospital. I mean, so it depends where you work.
Yeah, so as Raphael mentioned before, one needs protected time, we call it, for doing academic work. So maybe, Raphael, you can give us your insights into what are your biggest goals for you as a neurologist.
I think my biggest goal, frankly, really is to continue to do something that I enjoy doing. I feel very fortunate that for the last 5 years or so, and actually longer than that, I would say every day I kind of like going into work. It's never hard. It's never that I feel like I don't want to go there or I should do something else. But I feel at the same time that especially in academic medicine, you're quite literally put onto these tracks, right? So there's always the next step and there's always the next career opportunity. And you have colleagues and you have examples ahead of you and all the time. And sometimes it's a bit easy to get lost in this track, to just follow the path that has been laid out before you and to chase that next milestone and that next promotion. And honestly, my goal for myself is to hopefully be able to realize when it might make me more happy to like maybe take a step to the side or even take a step back, because it might not always be the most fulfilling thing just to advance in my career when I actually have found something that I like doing. So I hope that I can keep that outlook and keep looking for that things that make me happy in that field.
It's great to hear that obviously all three of you really have fun going to work every day. At least that's how it sounds to me. Raphael expressed it more precisely than David and Benedetta, but I got the impression that you all really like going to work. And I think one is only good in what she or he is doing if one really likes the work they do and really goes to work more or less every day, just with a good feeling and enjoying what you do. Yildiz, do you have any more questions to our young fellows?
Well, they were great indeed. I have no further questions, but I have to say that it's very pleasing to see how enthusiastic they are in terms of neurology. I wish you all luck and success in all your lives.
Yeah, I can only add the same thing. I wish you all the best for your career. Might it be more academic or more patient-orientated, but just please go on and do neurology just as a fun thing. I still like it. I like it for decades, and I will never stop liking doing neurology. So I think the best thing I ever did was choosing neurology. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
This has been EANcast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.